Now, good stuff. It's good stuff. At this time, we're going to go ahead and pass baskets through the congregation. And please, if you can, give. It's funny, I was talking to Logan, and it's not funny, but I was talking to Logan here before the service, and we was talking about giving, and I remember whenever I was new in recovery, and we had a bunch of kids, and leaving in a little bitty trailer, and cooking dinner on a single burner, didn't turn on the gas, didn't have money for that, and I'd see that plate go by, and the basket go by, and I just couldn't put anything in there, because I was so worried. I wonder what would have happened if I just did. Would we have still struggled? I don't think so. Because the reason I know that is because now I give, and all my needs are met. I'm even able to help other people. So if you're anything like me, it's hard for me. I don't carry cash, and so this is the way I do it. You can text to give, and it'll send you to the Tithely app. Man, and what me and Trina do now is we just got it set where it just takes it. So we don't even have to remember. So if you haven't done that, please, man, download that app. It helps out. So, hello, Serenity Church. We're going to go ahead and pass out Bibles and bulletins and stuff, and because I do have some fill-in-the-blanks. Years and years ago, before Serenity Church even existed, Pastor John Featherston, he would preach, and in his bulletins had to fill in the blanks. Man, we thought that was so cool because it keeps us engaged. And so if you don't have a bulletin and a pen, and please raise your hand, these guys will get one to you. And so if you'll look at the top of that bulletin, it says, let me tell you about what's coming up. We saw the Buddy Bethlehem video Easter, absolutely cute as can be, right? So, but Easter is next week, and so we have an Easter service every year. I try to do something with the cross, and God has given me a pretty good word. You're going to be able to have a time at the cross and all that good stuff. And so the whole month of April, we're going to be preaching about Jesus. It's just what we're going to, it's just going to be all about Jesus. And so next week I'll be bringing that message, but the week after, we have been in a 40-day time of prayer, with these prayer beads. And so the week after Easter, John will be back to wrap up that 40-day period of prayer, and so it's a really good message. I've heard it already. He preached it before. He preached it at his other church or at the church where he pastors, and I said that's the one, you know. And so it's a really good message. But the whole month of April, like I said, we're going to be talking about Jesus, and so I'll be doing the Easter service. John will come the following week and do the follow-up on the 40-day. Jesslyn will bring the third week, and then our very own worship leader, Roger, will be wrapping that week up, that month up. So Roger will be bringing the message at the end of the month of April. So pretty cool stuff coming up. And you know, the video said, invite your cousins, invite your friends, invite the one that sits next to you in school, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's a whole lot of people who don't go to church regularly. They go to church on Christmas and Easter. I call them Creasters. Yeah, they're Creasters. And so I'm sure you know a couple of those folks that they plan on going to church, but they might just not know where. And so maybe you need to invite them to come. We're going to have a potluck afterwards. There's a sign up to bring some stuff back here on either end of these tables back here, the counters. Bring some food, and we will party down. So on that bulletin, let's go ahead and get into that now. On the bulletin, if you'll see the title of this message, it says, If You Do This. And where I got that from is throughout the years, I've heard John preach about how in 1939, a group of guys sat around the table and they opened up the Bible and they started looking at Scripture and trying to figure out how are we going to give this to people. This thing that we got, we know it comes, it's straight out of Scripture here, but how can we simplify this? And they went through and they picked out all these different Scriptures that said, if you do this, God will do this for you. And they compiled it all up and they said, wow, that's a whole lot. How can we shrink this down and make it simple for guys like me and Logan? And they came up with the 12 steps. And so the title of this message is, If You Do This. And so when I wrote that, the first thing that went through my mind was the movie Rocky. We've all seen Rocky, right? I mean, if you haven't, you need to, right? Rocky. And so he gets this opportunity to fight for the world championship. And his manager, Mickey, he said, Rocky, if you do this, you could get hurt. This guy's not a bum. You could get hurt real bad, Rocky. But if you do this, you could be the greatest of all times. This is what Mickey said to Rocky. And so I thought about that. I went back and watched the clips to make sure that that was kind of what was said. And it went through my mind that we have an enemy that's not a bum. He's been doing it a long time, man. He's good at what he does. We have an enemy. So if you do this, you can expect to get hurt. It's going to be a struggle. He's going to come at you. He's going to come at you hard. But if you do this, you may become the GOAT. You may become the greatest of all times. See, I love Rocky's response. And this is in your notes, and you can go ahead and write this down. Rocky's response to what Mickey said was, life's not about how hard of a hit you can give. It's about how many you can take and still keep moving forward. I said, whoa, that's my tagline. I shared a couple of weeks ago that in emails and text messages a lot of times between people, I'll tag, keep moving forward, man, because it's my anthem, like, don't give up. But life's going to hit you. It's not about how hard of a hit you can give. It's about how many you can take and keep moving forward. No matter what. See, I've heard it said a lot lately. And this is a saying, and I kind of don't like little sayings like this, but I mean, maybe I do because I like to keep moving forward, but this saying, life is lifey. It just feels kind of weird to me. Life, but it's true. It's truth. Life gets lifey, and what does that mean is, man, we're in a fight. Again, I go back to our enemy. We're in a fight against someone that's not a bum. He's been doing it a long time. He's really good at what he does. And he can trick and he can knife and he can deceive you in ways that you don't even realize it's happening. And then life gets lifey. So how, when life gets lifey, do we keep moving forward? Well, I want you to look at step one. We admit that we are powerless over what hurts us, and our life is lifey. It's unmanageable. This took me to 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10. I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me, but he said to me, my grace is enough. Some translations say sufficient, but my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. For this reason, I am happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, suffering, and all kinds of troubles for Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. That's a promise. When I'm weak, I'm truly strong. So this is Paul writing this. And if you know anything about Paul, life was really lifey for that man. He was in a fight with someone who was not a bum. Our enemy, the same one that you are in a fight with. Paul, he suffered 5 severe Jewish floggings. 39 lashes. You know why they do 39? Because they found out that 40 kills people. So they stop just short of killing you. That happened to him 5 times. 3 Roman beatings with rods. I can't even imagine. A stoning. A group of people picked up rocks and threw at him. Imprisonment for preaching about Jesus. I'm not so sure I got that in me. Like if I knew I was going to jail after this, I might not be here. He was hungry and cold, alone. And then he had what he called a thorn in the flesh. The New Century Version says a painful physical problem. NIV says a thorn in the flesh, but we really don't know what it was. But in all these weaknesses, see, when he wrote that, it's a really cool reading, but if you don't know that 5 severe Jewish floggings, 39 lashes, 3 Roman beatings, a stoning, 3 shipwrecks. If we don't know all that, it's just, oh yeah, you had trouble. Life got lifey on you. I don't know anyone in this room has had lifey like that. No one. I don't know a single soul in this room that has had that. But he kept moving forward. And he wrote, in these weaknesses, I am strong. Why? Because in these weaknesses, Paul found the power in Jesus. He found the power in Jesus. That is the only way he could keep moving forward. See, he prayed. He admitted his powerlessness. He accepted life on life's terms. Acceptance. I just got beat half to death. And I'm going to accept that my next mission is to go to the next town and say the same thing. And it might happen to me again. Thank God my life is not that lifey. He said God told him his grace is enough. How about maybe you could not let that happen again? He acknowledged he was powerless, and he acknowledged who gives him power to keep moving forward in the midst of all that. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. That's a promise. That when you feel you can't go any further, Christ will be there to pick you up and help you keep moving forward. Because he relied on God's power and strength, he was able to keep moving forward. See, because of all that, Paul keeping focus on Christ in the midst of life being lifey, he's considered the goat. See, I picture that on the road to Damascus, see, Paul was named Saul to begin with. And his job was killing Christians. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and he fell down and was blind. There's a whole story behind it. But I wonder if he thought, if I do this, I believe he knew what was coming if he did this. If he changed his name from Saul to Paul and started preaching about Jesus. You know why I knew? Why I think he knew what would happen? Because he was the original one doing it. He held the coats for the guys who stoned Stephen. He knew what he was getting into. But he did it anyway. And he is called by many the greatest apostle of all times. See Mickey's words? If you do this, Brock, you could be the greatest of all time. And Paul did. He did it. He's considered the greatest apostle of all time. See, I'm learning. I've been doing this a long time, but I'm still learning powerlessness. I have a lot of kids. And when they're little, you've got complete control over them. You can tell them what to do. You can point them in the right direction. And if they don't go in that direction, you can push them. But once they're adults, you can't. You don't have any control over what they do or the decisions they make. And you really want to. You really want to go, look, dude, no, don't do that. But you can't. I was in a conversation a few weeks ago with a person, and they were just really upset that they couldn't control their child, and it's not a child, they're an adult. And I told them, I said, I had the same stuff, and I have to pray. And I had to pray, and I had to pray, and I had to pray, and I had to pray. And I prayed for 13 years, and God answered those prayers. Never give up praying. There's people in our lives that we have no control over. And I know that it can make us sick. It can cause us to do things we don't want to do. So we have to continually be in prayer. And God will answer those prayers. See, we already talked about Jeremiah 29:11. It's been mentioned in almost every message this month. God has a plan. We got to trust that plan. Remain in God's will and let His plan work out. Man, for me, every time I do that, it's glorious. But every time I try to step in and take control, it's not. It ends up bad. My job is to keep moving forward. I want to look at another promise. Another promise of God that He will restore sanity. See, in step two, it says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, we already acknowledged that we're powerless, and so we need a greater power, or we need more power, we need some power from somewhere else, a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. And I tell you what, when I first came into recovery and I heard that, I'm like, I'm not insane. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, the definition. I did the same thing over and over. But you know what? For me, I got to the point where I knew what the result was going to be and still did it anyway. That's even more insane. Insanity. A power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Where's the promise in that? Mark chapter 5. And I started looking at this because I focused on a specific story in Mark chapter 5, but the entire chapter. Go home and read it. It won't take you that long. It's not really that long. But in that chapter, Jesus cast demons out of a man. When you read this, I picture a man that's lost his mind. He's absolutely has lost his mind. The definition in my mind of insanity. No one could be around this man. Huh. You've heard me share before, no one could be around me. They didn't want to be around me. Even the people who loved me didn't want to be around me. Scripture says, no one was strong enough to control him. No one could control me. I did what I wanted to do. But Jesus restored this man's sanity. The story goes that Jesus is in this town, and he's been going around healing people. And this man, they put him in chains away from the town, and you could hear him screaming throughout the night. And he would break the chains and come down into town. Well, Jesus is in town, and this man comes down, and Jesus heals him. He's right in his mind. He knows what's going on. He can talk to people now. And then he went all over telling what Jesus did. See, this man came to believe in a power greater than himself. That was Jesus. Later on in that chapter, Jesus heals a woman that had bled for 12 years. She tried everything. I've heard scholars talk about this, that she had spent her life savings going to doctors and crazy treatments for this. Some treatments that you just go, oh, really? Oh. But she's done everything that she knows to do. She knows she's done everything she knows to do to get this bleeding to stop and can't. And she's just at her wits' end. But she heard a man tell about another man that could heal. See, remember the man who was crazy? He went and started telling everyone. This woman heard. And for some reason, she believed. So she made her way to where Jesus was. She had to fight through a crowd. She had to fight through a crowd. There were so many people pressing in on Jesus, he could barely walk. So that tells me there's just a huge crowd pressing in on him. And she finds her way through the crowd on her hands and knees, I presume, because the only thing that she could touch was the hem of his garment, the robe. And the second that she touches that, Jesus stops in his tracks and says, who touched me? And his apostles, his disciples standing all around him, says, Jesus, everyone is touching you. Everyone. He said, no, someone touched me because I felt the power go out of me. Why? Because she believed. This woman believed in his power. So here's the promise. Because Jesus turned around and found her. And he said to her, Jesus said to her, dear woman, you are made well because you believed. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. Man, I needed to hear that. So I can be healed of this disease if I just believe. You know, you hear that story and you think, well, you know, she just believed and then she got healed. She had to put in the work. There was work. She just didn't stay home. She just didn't go, well, this old boy told me about this guy that could heal. I believe he can. But I ain't going downtown. There's too many people down there. I can't. I mean, I'm uncomfortable in the crowds. No, she did the work. For us, it looks like maybe working through the steps or going to a meeting, but she did the work. She came out of her house. She searched out to where the solution was. She went to where the solution was, and she fought her way through a crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. That's how much she believed in it. And she was healed. See, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus restored the man's sanity because, and then he believed. Because I'm not sure that he could even believe or whatever. I mean, you know, I know the demons, what it says in here is the demons believed because they said, when you cast us out of here, you know, put us somewhere else. And Jesus cast them into the pigs and the pigs ran over the cliff. You really need to read that chapter. It's pretty crazy. But then the woman heard about Jesus and she believed and was healed. See, I would do things myself that I wouldn't normally do in a normal state of mind. I'm going back to that insanity stuff. It sucks to even say this. I stole from my dad. I've never done anything like that. Never. Thank God for amends. You know, after I got into the steps, got into recovery and worked the steps, and that time for that amends, man, that was tough. It's tough to go to your dad and say, man, you remember? You remember you had a boat motor up in the attic? And stuff had been there for a long time. He goes, oh, yeah. I wonder where that went. I said, I stole it. He goes, do you remember how much that cost? And I said, yeah, I remember when you bought it. It was about $400. He goes, well, give me my money. I said, well, I really don't. I mean, I will. I'll pay you. He said, no, man. I ended up painting his garage and cleaning out his garage for him and stuff. I told him I had to do something, you know. But now I don't deal with that. I mean, I did things that I wouldn't normally do because I was insane. I would treat my wife and kids like I didn't love them. And I did. I loved them. I was so self-centered. See, I believed Jesus could restore my sanity. I just had to let him. That was my problem. I had to let him. I was running on my own will. I did what I wanted to do. I had to be willing to change. And let's face it, change is scary. I think Jesselyn said it last week. Who am I going to be if I don't do these things? Change is a little scary. So it says on page 62, and I think I said this to somebody out here a while ago, like, page 62 in the AA Big Book has been quoted every single message this month. And it says, selfishness and self-centered that we think is the root of our trouble, driven by 100 forms of fear. And I go back to that. And like, what am I going to be? Who am I going to be if I'm not a musician playing in a nightclub? Well, how about a musician playing on stage for Jesus? I never thought that was an option. Amen. So I had to do step 3. I had to be willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Then Jesus gave me this promise. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his followers, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must give up self-centeredness. They must be willing to give up their lives. Turn your life over. to follow me. Okay, here's the promise. Those who want to save their lives, I put that in parentheses when I wrote it. I wanted to save my life. I was going to be dead or in prison pretty quick. There have been a lot of people in my life had passed doing the things I was doing. It says, those who want to save their lives will give up true life. Wait a minute. Give up true life? The life you're living. Because see, in that reality, that's true life to you. I don't see another life. This is how I'm living. This is the norm. This is what we do. So at that moment, that is true life, the life you're living. And those who give up their lives for me will have true life. What he's talking about there is a good life, a life in Christ, an eternal life. Write that down. It's a promise of a good life. If you do this, he will promise you a good life. See, it worked. I'm free. Now, do I still have troubles? Absolutely. I still have troubles. I just explained some of the stuff. I want to control my kids. I worry about things. Things come up. But I know that all I have to do is rely on the power that lives in me through Jesus Christ, and things are going to be okay, and I can keep moving forward. So, Roger, if you guys want to come on back up, I want to get Logan and Michael Hill. Let's get Ken up this time. And let's see. Who else? Tina, come on. So I talked about prayer and how you keep moving forward. And man, I'm telling you, 90% of that is prayer. Staying in prayer. And these guys right here, I know them all. God hears them. And if there's something that you're struggling with, and it may be holding you back, you're wanting to move forward, you don't even have to tell them what it is. They know by the fact that you came up for prayer. And they will ask God to intervene with the power of Jesus Christ in your life. If there's anyone who hadn't accepted Jesus as their higher power, please do that. If you want to, bow your head and say a prayer. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to walk and follow you. That's all you have to say. But then you got to do it. It's not easy. Our enemy is not a bum. The second you do that, it perks his ears up. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I lost another one. Praise the Lord. So come, visit these guys. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys.